Julie's going to come and bring us the word today. So, Father, we just ask that you anoint her, that you more than you already have. Just fill her up with your spirit, Lord. Fill her to overflowing with the anointing on the word, so that as we hear the word spoken from her mouth, we will apply it. And as Ann just reminded me, we will honor you through this word. Father, let us honor you with our presence today and bless Julie as she preaches to us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's good to see everybody this morning. So, did you know that Honda existed 2,000 years ago? It says in Acts, the disciples were gathered in one accord. Honda Accord. Did you know that Boaz was a different person before he married Ruth? He was ruthless. Laughter is the best medicine. Okay. But there is something else that's also a very good medicine, and it's when we give thanksgiving. So what do I mean by that? Well, in Psalm 100, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Notice when we give thanksgiving, we enter into his gates. We come into his presence. We enter his courts when we praise. It shows us also that thanksgiving and praise are actually quite different, because it says when you do this, when you thanksgive, you do this, and when you praise, you do that. So they're actually quite different. So praise actually means we acknowledge who God is. So for instance, you are God Almighty. You are holy. You are worthy. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the author of life. You are the giver and the takeaway. You are the creator of all things, above all principalities and powers. Yet you know every single hair on our heads. You made us in your image. You know everything about us, but you love us. You want to be the perfect father for us. You gave us a hope and a future. You've prepared a home for us with you for all eternity when we respond to the love of Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father loves us. There is no one like you, God Almighty, wonderful, perfect Father. That is praise. That is acknowledging who God is. Thanksgiving becomes the automatic step, the next step, the step after acknowledging who he is. That's when we give thanks. And why wouldn't we, when you hear all those wonderful things of a God so mighty, but he loves us? We've been praying and fasting over these last couple of weeks, and I felt the need to put that into motion because of something that had been happening with me. I had been feeling for well over a month a really, really heavy burden to pray for this nation, for what we're seeing and hearing every day. I'm not into politics. I have never wanted to be in politics. I never want to be in politics. But this was such a heavy burden to pray for this nation and to see it come back to God. It was so overwhelming that one day I was in my car and I was praying and I was saying, "God, this is too heavy. It feels like a depression of some kind. It is so heavy here in my chest. I can't take this anymore. How can I walk around like this? Where's my joy? You promised my joy and my peace. I walk in joy and peace. And at the moment, this heaviness is so strong. What can I do? Take this away." And in that moment, in my car, I heard, "Why aren't you thanksgiving?" I was like, "Huh? Okay, that's a bit odd." So I started saying, "I thank God for his love, for giving his only son Jesus, for Jesus who offered himself as a sacrifice to pay for our sins, so that we can stand before a heavenly, holy Father, completely white and blameless, dressed from head to toe, purified and white, all scarlet washed off of us, all scarlet sin just completely gone. I thanked him for salvation. I thanked him for not leaving us alone, but sending his Holy Spirit. I thank God for his written word, which is alive and never goes out and comes back void. It brings life. It tells us who he is, but it tells us who we are too. It tells us about the world. It tells us, it prophesies of what is to come. That's our Bible. I thank God, that even with faith as small as a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. And we sang about that this morning, didn't we? I thank God that he will turn all things around for the good of us who love him. I thank God that he has a purpose for us and a plan. I thank him that he wants to prosper us and not to harm us. I thank him that he knows our every need before we even ask, but he loves us as his children to come into his presence and ask anyway. But he knows what we need. I thank him that he sends his angels to minister to us. I thanked him for his amazing grace, mercy, and forgiveness. I thanked him that he trusts us enough to give us authority and power, and we heard that from Saru this morning. He trusts us. The creator of the world trusts us with the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to live in us and have authority and power, the same authority and power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. That I thanked him for. I thanked him that we can take authority over all powers of darkness for his name's sake. I thanked him that the battle belongs to the Lord and not to us, because our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's probably only half of what I actually did in my car. I could not stop thanking. I thanked everything I could. I thanked my family. I thanked for my house. I thanked for everything he'd given me. Do you know what happened? In that moment, the Holy Spirit just came like warm oil, flooded over me, through me, and took that heavy burden away. I haven't felt it since. I still pray, because I know that's what he wants us to do. It's still on my heart to do that, but the heaviness that came with that burden, I couldn't bear, and he took that away. When we start to give thanks, it brings freedom. It breaks down strongholds. It breaks the lies of the enemy. It shows us that no matter what is going on, God is in control. He's always in control. And as the psalm says, it allows us to come through the gates and into his presence. John 8:32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, when we come through the gates and into his presence, we are surrounded by truth. We're no longer looking at what's going on around us in the world. We're no longer getting filled with worry and doubts and thinking, "What on earth is going on, Lord?" We come into his presence and we say, "It's okay, God's got this. I don't understand what's going on around me, but I can pray against it. I can pray that these people will come to know God, that God will place his people in power, who will fight for this country, who will bring people who will be saved, that the church will not be silenced." We can pray those things. Entering his gates brings us into the kingdom, and that means miracles. When Jesus fed the 5,000, what did he do? He held the basket of fish and bread, and he gave thanks. In the natural, it didn't look like it was enough. There were 5,000 people sitting out there, and he's got a little basket with a few loaves and bread. But actually, that thanksgiving opened the gates to the kingdom, and it became more than enough. Not just sufficient, but more than enough. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks refocuses our mind. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Now that's a good one, because in other words, when our mind is full of what's going on around us, it brings in doubts, fears, sadness, negatives. But thanking and praising renews our mind to the spiritual reality, which is real. We are here in body, but the spiritual and what is going on around us that we can't see is so much more powerful. He is kind, he is loving, he is always in control. He wants the best for us. His perfect will is not for evil to prevail, but for the children of light to shine brightly and affect the atmosphere around us and the people around us. That is his good and perfect will. But when we focus on what is around us, we can't see it. Because it's almost like being in the middle of a forest and all you could see is trees and darkness. But when you step into his presence, when you praise, when you thank him for who he is, the gates of the kingdom open, we step into that kingdom and we can see the reality. The reality is God is light, God is powerful, God is loving, God is for you and me. Amen? If something looks evil or screams injustice, that's not God's will. You and me have been placed here with authority to pray against it. The battle doesn't stop because we get tired. It goes on in the heavenlies and all around us. So even when we're tired, that's not a problem, because the word says, when you are weak, I am strong. So when we're sitting there thinking, oh gosh, Lord, I just want to sit down and watch some TV. Wouldn't it be better to go and say, oh gosh, Lord, I'm so tired. Let's read your Bible and sit together and pray. Yeah? I need to, I'm talking to myself as well, okay? Because I'm terrible for that. It's like, oh, I'm done. I just need to sit down. But actually, let's sit with God. Yeah? Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we're told to do. My favorite psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That is my most favorite psalm. But even though we walk through the darkest times, remember that even though, when it feels like our enemies are surrounding us, God is with us. Even though we might be finding there's a sickness or an illness or an ache or a pain or an operation needed or a building move or a child who's gone astray, even though we can give thanks, even though. We can change the atmosphere. He even prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. So you see, when we're going through all of this, when we step through the gate in thanksgiving, we can see that actually he's laid all of this in front of us. There's a table to come, a table with goodness and mercy, a table that's full of sustenance. That's what you get when you sit at a table. You eat, you are filled, you get more energy, you get more power. But this is the bread of life. The table is set before us with bread of life. Our spirit will be revived as well. And guess what? The enemy can only sit and watch. He cannot touch us. We eat at the table that God is giving us. We're invited to taste and see that God is good. And all right in front of the enemy. And there's nothing you can do about it. And it all comes by our thanksgiving in the even those. Thankfulness allows us to stop and see the table that he's given us. It reminds us that all things will work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Giving thanks in the dark times is not giving thanks for what is happening to us. It's not giving thanks for the evil. It's giving thanks despite the evil, despite the darkness, despite the tough times, and despite anything that's thrown at us, because we know God is good and God is in control and he's got this and he's got your back. It opens the gates to peace and joy, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. There is another significant time that Jesus gave thanks, and it was at the Last Supper. He broke bread and he said, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. And he gave thanks. And he left that bread of life. He said, "Remember me. Take this bread. Remember what I'm doing for you. Remember what I'm going to do for you." Thankfulness says that God is sufficient. It renews our mind and restores our hope. Can you imagine the disciples sitting there and Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going to die. But don't worry, I'm going to be back in 3 days. I'm going to rise in 3 days. Can you imagine how they must have felt? It's like, he can't really mean it. This is the Son of God. He can't really mean it. Can you imagine what was going on through their mind? But what does he do? He teaches them to give thanks in the middle of it all. Thanks and remember. And the two go together. When we give thanks, we remember who he is. It allows us to rejoice in all things, even though. And it is a weapon against the enemy. In the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 12, Nehemiah had built the walls back around Jerusalem. And verse 31 says, "Then I brought the leaders of Judah up to the wall, and I appointed two great thanksgiving choirs." It was really important to give thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Sometimes we come straight away to God, "Lord, I need this." But actually, "Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I can come before you with everything I need, and you will answer me because you love me." And then ask. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In David's Psalm 105, before calling on God, he gives thanks. "Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek out the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always in the even those. Remember the wonders he has done." God inhabits the praises of his people. But it's good to remember that thanksgiving opens the gates to his peace when we most need it. When we most need it. When we're feeling at our worst and we don't know how to cope, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to look. I remember a long time ago, I used to go to a friend. You know, I was like, "Oh, Lord, I can't deal with this." And I'd go to a friend and I'd blurt it all out. And one day God said to me, "You're going to the wrong person." When we're at our worst, that's the time to come before the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the Heavenly Father, and say, "Thank you, God." And that gate opens to his goodness and we are filled with peace that you're not going to get from chatting with a friend. You're not going to get from going out and having a drink with your mates. You're not going to get from doing hobbies. You will get that peace that you so desperately need when you come before the Father with thanksgiving. I was listening the other day, I wasn't sure whether to share this, but I was listening the other day to one of the testimonies of one of the released Israeli hostages. One of them had been in a particularly small area. He couldn't stand up, he couldn't even reach out. He said it was absolutely pitch black. He said he never understood pitch black until he was in that area. But he said that in that complete darkness, he felt God's presence and light in front of him. He said, and in that, he was able to give thanks. Can you imagine this? He was able to give thanks in that. I was in tears listening to this because I thought, oh my gosh, you are so good, God. You are so good. In the worst of our possible times, times that we could never imagine, he is there with us. Romans 8:18 onwards says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Even though we go through tough stuff, our God is more than worthy to be praised, more than worthy to be thanked, more than sufficient. We can enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and we can rest in his peace and delight at sitting at his table and feasting on what he offers, not what's going on around us, but what he offers. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning. I've left it till last because I thought it'd be really good for threes or fours to get together, take communion, and let's voice to each other our thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? I'm grateful that I'm alive today and that I'm here and have an opportunity to share how wonderful our God is, and that I can give him thanksgiving. And I have a testimony to say that when I do that, he came. And I can share other testimonies too. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for you guys.